Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program, Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. And, first up, as usual, on a Wednesday afternoon, is Family Health, rather Health News, I beg your pardon. Alhamdulillah. The time right now is 2:09, and in health news today, we're going to be looking at natural ways to relieve constipation. We'll be looking at a few natural ways, inshallah. And then it will be followed by The Growing Child, our monthly program with our sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister. And we're currently busy with the series Common Conditions in Newborns. Today, inshallah, we'll be looking at jaundice. We also want to look at lethargy and sleepiness, and if time permits, we will then look at respiratory distress as well, inshallah. Well, just a reminder to our listeners that, you know, if you have any questions with regards the jaundice or lethargy and sleepiness or even respiratory distress, please feel free. You can contact us a little later in the studio or on the studio number 011-854-1548. And you can also, if you want to, you know, SMS me or WhatsApp me on the number 082-84-92-786, inshallah. First up now is health news, and now we're going to be looking at natural ways to relieve constipation. Now, you know, we all know that constipation is a common digestive complaint all over the world. Everywhere, wherever you go, there's always somebody that has a problem with constipation. Now, the normal frequency of bowel movements, it actually varies widely from person to person, from once or more a day to about three times a week. Sometimes you even find people that, you know, just maybe once a week. And well, it's true. I've heard about people actually not even going once a week. In general, however, you are likely constipated if you pass a hard, dry stool less than three times a week. And it's really uncomfortable, you know, if you are constipated. Constipation can also make you feel bloated and very uncomfortable, and you may find yourself straining during bowel movements. And again, that has other complications as well and other consequences. Although constipation can affect anyone, it is more common in women and in people over the age of 65. It also tends to occur during pregnancy, after childbirth, or even after surgery, and also with certain kinds of medications. Now, we're going to look at some of the natural constipation remedies today. I know there's always something that you can take, but let's look at the natural ones. Now, a number of studies show that certain foods and remedies may offer some benefits. If you're experiencing symptoms of constipation or are considering using alternative medicine, then you, no matter what, you need to talk to your doctor first. And always keep in mind that remedies should not be used as a substitute for standard care in the treatment of any health condition. I think that's so important. And, you know, even if you're taking your, you need to always, whatever you're taking, whatever medication you're taking, you need to consult with someone that knows or that is a professional. Now, let me just share with you some of these, you know, natural remedies. And the first one is fiber. A diet low in fiber may play a role in constipation. Insoluble fiber, which passes through the body almost unchanged, gives stool bulk and a soft texture. And this, of course, makes it easier to pass. Foods that are high in insoluble fiber would include things like whole grains, fruits, and vegetables. You can also try wheat bran, brown rice, or whole grain bread. Soluble fiber dissolves in water, and it also forms a gel-like substance in the intestines. prunes and figs can be added to breakfast or eaten as a snack. Another option is to sprinkle some, just about a teaspoon of ground flax seeds over any meal. And they can be found in packages at the health store or, your food store or even at grocery stores. They actually have a mild, nutty taste. And then fiber supplements are also available, the most popular being psyllium supplements such as Metamucil. The other one is guar gum and acacia fiber are also popular. Just add fiber to your diet gradually to avoid bloating and gas. Also, be sure to drink enough water, otherwise fiber can have the opposite effect and be constipating. Of course, fluids. Now, making sure you drink enough fluids, such as water, may help some people with constipation. Fluids make bowel movements softer and, of course, very much easier to pass. You should watch your consumption of caffeinated beverages, such as coffee and cola drinks, which can be dehydrating. Then, the third one is stimulant laxatives. Now, many herbal laxatives and dietist teas are stimulant laxatives or anthraquinone laxatives. They include things like, or other herbs such as rhubarb, aloe, senna, senna tea, buckthorn, and of course others. And some of these herbs, such as senna, are approved as over-the-counter treatments for constipation. Although they are meant to be short-term treatments, in reality, people may become dependent on them and then use them for weeks, for months, and some may even use them for years at a time in order to have a daily bowel movement. Now, it's important to talk with your primary care provider before taking them. They should not be used for longer than a week unless under medical supervision. Prolonged use may cause the bowels to lose the ability to move on their own, and it has also been linked to chronic diarrhea, potassium depletion leading to muscle weaknesses and irregular heart rhythms and kidney or liver impairment. So I think that is very important for you to remember. Please, no matter, any medication for that matter, even if it's just natural medications, please make sure that you take them under medical supervision, not continuously or forever, because sometimes, we have to take it all the time because we can't do without it. So be careful with regards to that. Then we go on to the next thing, and that is probiotics. Probiotics such as Lactobacillus acidophilus are live microbial organisms that are naturally present in the digestive tract. And some of the ways they are thought to promote health include suppressing the growth of potentially harmful bacteria, improving immune function, enhancing the protective barrier of the digestive tract, and helping to produce vitamin K. There are some preliminary evidence that probiotic supplements may improve constipation. For example, one study looked at the effect of a probiotic beverage containing a strain of beneficial bacteria or a placebo in people with chronic constipation. The probiotic drink resulted in significant improvement in severity of constipation and stool consistency. Another important one is acupressure. Now, acupressure is a traditional healing practice that involves the application of finger pressure to specific acupuncture points on the body. Now, an acupuncturist will know exactly what to do there. A point that is often recommended by acupuncturists for constipation is large intestine 4. Although it hasn't been studied for constipation, it is a simple home remedy that may work for some people. And the point is at the highest spot of the muscle between the thumb and the index finger when they are brought close together. But please remember, there's just this important point for you to be concerned about. This point is typically avoided during pregnancy. So during pregnancy, this should not be attempted. With your thumb or your middle finger at a 90-degree angle to the skin, apply gradually increasing pressure. And you just hold for 3 minutes. The pressure should not be painful or uncomfortable. So this is another way of relieving constipation. Then this next one is magnesium. A deficiency of the mineral magnesium may contribute to constipation. So magnesium is found naturally in foods such as green leafy vegetables, nuts, seeds and whole grains, and in supplements. So magnesium is needed for normal muscle function, including intestinal muscles. And one recent study examined the intake of magnesium with constipation in a lot of women, and they say that low magnesium intake was associated with constipation. Now, there are also other natural constipation remedies, and I'll just share a few with them of them with you. The herb triphala is used in Ayurveda, the natural or traditional medicine of India, to promote digestive health and to ease constipation. Barberry is one of them, basil, buckthorn, cayenne, dandelion, fenugreek, golden seal, honey, milk thistle, red raspberry, and slippery elm. And just two very important tips that I would like to share with you with regards to constipation. They say that engage in regular physical activity. Not getting enough physical activity can also lead to constipation. In other words, you need to at least exercise daily. And don't put off the urge. This is a very important one. You know, people sometimes, when you are so busy and you feel, okay, I'll do it, I'll go just now. Well, don't put off the urge. The longer you delay when the urge to have a bowel movement strikes, the more water gets absorbed from the stool and the harder it becomes to have a bowel movement. So that really does cause you to become constipated. So if you do want to, if you do need to pass a stool, then go as soon as you have the urge. Don't keep it in, because that just causes it to become hard and then you suffer from constipation all over. Well, I hope these remedies will be of benefit to you, inshallah. When we return, we'll be speaking to Sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister. We are currently doing the series Common Conditions in Newborns. And today, inshallah, we're going to be looking at jaundice, a little bit of lethargy and sleepiness. And inshallah, like I said, if time permits, then we're going to be looking at respiratory distress. A reminder to our listeners that our lines will be open, so if you have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548, and you can also SMS or WhatsApp me on the number 082-8492-786. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome back to the program Family Rather. It's the growing child today, I beg your pardon. And joining me in the studio is Sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister. We're currently doing the series Common Conditions in Newborns. Today we're going to be looking at jaundice, alhamdulillah. And I see some physical conditions are especially common during the first couple of weeks after birth. And if you as parents notice anything unusual where your baby is concerned, then please, you need to contact your pediatrician. It's very important, you know, sometimes, especially if you're a new mum and you're not sure of anything, you know, you'd rather go to, you know, have it seen to, and you will feel, better after knowing that there may not be something wrong. But if you have the slightest concern, then as a new mother, or any mother for that matter, it's important for you to have your baby seen to immediately. You know, there's so many conditions that can be, fixed rather, and also, if you just go to a pediatrician or a doctor or whoever you have to go to, and the problem is picked up immediately, so much can be done these days. So we should not be negligible. We should not neglect all these little things. The moment we see something wrong, please consult your doctor. And really, it's important. Don't think that, it's something that, will go away. I think that is one of the things that we're always concerned about. Sister Fatima, Jazakallah Khair once again for joining us this afternoon. And thank you so much for coming into this program with us. And like I said, you know, Sister Fatima, one of the problems that we as parents have is like, you know, we're always thinking, it'll go away, you know, it's still new. The baby's just born, so I'm sure it's going to go away. Just wait a while. But I think that is one of the mistakes that many of us make. What do you say about that?
Being a first-time mother, not a first-time mother, any mother after birth, you've been through so much stress and so much strain with the pregnancy itself. And then now this enormous, the labor itself. It's something that you can't explain, but it causes a lot of strain on the mother. It does. That's why they say that after birth, baby and mother should rest for a while, for at least a couple of hours, to get yourself back to normal. And when this happens is, you sort of become very anxious. And with that, when a baby is born, everybody comes to see the baby. And then it looks like the auntie or the great uncle that passed away in Makkah one day, and this baby looks like him, and like the father, like the mother, like the granny, like the big child, like the eldest daughter. And, it sort of confuses you, because what we as a mother would look at is a normal, healthy baby. And now you look at your child and say, does it look like my mother-in-law? So, all these funny things go through your head. But the important thing here is to look at your baby to see if the baby is normal. That's what we should look out at. Babies are born, sometimes they squint. They have little bit of swollen eyes because of the delivery. Little faces are a bit swollen because of the delivery, the pressure of the delivery. Little noses are not normal because of the delivery. So everybody comes and says, but your baby looks like this and that. What we should do is just relax and wait for a couple of hours, at least 6 hours, for baby to come back to normal. And then you can now check and see if baby is normal. What we do look for, of course, is the color. The first thing that will strike you is the color of the baby.
Okay. And actually, that is what we're going to be talking about today. We spoke about the abdominal, quite a few conditions already. Yeah. We spoke about birth injuries. Some of them you mentioned now. We spoke about the baby blue color. We were talking about the baby being blue. If a baby continuously cough, we looked at excessive crying. We looked at forceps marks. You mentioned that also just now. Today we want to look at jaundice. And this is one of the very common conditions that come up after a baby is born. So, just for the benefit of our listeners, I know we all know jaundice. When we say jaundice, we think yellow. Everything is yellow. But what exactly is jaundice? And, why does a baby become jaundice after birth? Of course, not all babies become jaundice, but it's become very common these days. You hear about it very often.
After baby is born, you must remember what the mother goes through during labor. The baby goes through it as well. The baby goes through a lot of strain, because what baby is doing, it's trying to push itself out. And the mother, that is where the mother helps the baby push itself out. It's not that the mother goes into labor and she's got all the work to do. Baby goes through the same thing. And when they are born, they are actually very, very tired. And that's a time when even the color can be changed. When we go through strain, our color does change. you know, you become red or you become yellow, whatever color it is. But that's the time when you should check. What you do is when baby is born, and when, you know, they see to the mother, they see to the baby, see that everything is fine there, the birth canal is seen to, the baby is now seen to bathed, and that's a time when you should watch and see what the color is of the baby.
And I think it's important because these days we hear about baby being jaundiced all the time. So I think this is something as a new parent that you should always be looking out for. I mean, you're not going to, every little color you see and think, oh, my baby is jaundiced. You're not going to go a bit crazy about these things. But it's important for you to be able to look out for a few of these signs. But before we go on to the signs of jaundice, please tell us what exactly, you know, other than the stress that the baby goes through, what else causes jaundice
what
in
you
the baby?
Should, the thing that you should look for really is, before we go to the depth of jaundice, look at the color.
Mm.
Some babies are born light, some are born dark. It depends on the color of your skin. But the jaundice is, it's quite significant. You see that there is a yellow tinge in the skin. Now, what we must be observant for is, when does the yellow color come on? When did you notice it? Did you notice it straight after birth? Did you notice it 3 days after? Or did you notice it after 24 hours? This can come on at any time. It is the breakdown of the red blood cells, which is called bilirubin. And this goes into the bloodstream and discolors. Now, if it goes into the bloodstream, remember the blood supplies the whole body with blood. So the jaundice is going to show up on the body because the blood is now being circulated throughout the body. And if it's got this bilirubin in it, it is going to circulate and give it a yellow tinge.
So the yellow tinge will be on the skin, basically.
On the skin. Because you must remember your blood vessels are under the skin. So if the bilirubin is in the blood, it is going to show up in the under the skin, because it has to, because that's where it is.
Okay. What about the eyes? Sometimes you even notice that the eyes go a bit yellow, the baby's eyes.
They
is
do,
that
because it's also got blood vessels. But that's where you can see it most. Well, you can differentiate mostly there, because the eyes are normally very white. The white color is white, and of course the pupil has got its own color. And we can see it in the eyes, you can. But what you must notice is, when does this appear?
Mm-hmm.
If jaundice appears straight after birth, if the baby is born yellow,
mm-hmm,
it should be checked immediately. What happens here is, the liver breaks down the bilirubin. But if the liver is not efficient enough to break down the bilirubin, some of the babies are born with jaundice straight after. With, you know, while they are born with jaundice, and that we should check for.
Okay.
Because what can happen there is, you must remember, it is carried through the bloodstream to the body, and it can be supplied to the brain, where it can affect the brain cells. And this is the danger of jaundice.
Okay, so if a baby is born with jaundice, it's very important.
It is important.
Yeah, but I'm sure that the doctors, the pediatrician would pick up immediately if a baby is born with jaundice, or will you?
You know, if the mother, yeah, if the mother's got jaundice at, you know, during pregnancy like that, then they were going to check, they are going to check that. And they do check it. But sometimes we, you know, with the you know, the babies, you're busy at that time. Baby is born, the mother has to be seen to, the baby has to be seen to, the baby mother must be made comfortable, baby has to be bathed, there's other people in labor, especially in hospital. So you may just miss it, but the mother should be efficient enough to pick it up. If you see your baby is born with jaundice, please have it checked up.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best way.
Just miss it out. Look, our colors are not all the same. Some of us are very fair. Some of us are dark. Some of us are darker than others as well. So a mother must be. I think a mother is the one that should pick up anything, because she should observe her baby from the day it's born.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find anything that is not normal for you, have it checked up.
And I think it's important, because you are in the hospital at that time. So if you find that anything is concerned, anything that's concerning you, and you know, you should have the pediatrician, especially with the baby, the pediatrician will be coming in. So, you know, discuss it with the pediatrician as soon as you see the doctor. Talk to them about it, and I mean, for one, they will be able to put you at, your mind at ease as well. And number two, if there's a problem, it can be dealt with immediately.
And the home deliveries are quite common now. It has always been. And with a home delivery, be more efficient by checking your baby.
Okay.
Be alert, be observant, and just check and see if everything is right. I know we're very tired. You're very tired. You've just been through labor. It's a difficult thing. It's the most difficult thing you can come through. And now you've got this baby with you. Be observant and just see.
Okay.
Is this baby normal? Do I see something that is not right here?
Okay, that's with regards to the color of the baby. What other symptoms would present, you know, with a baby being jaundiced?
Look, what they do is, normally if you find a baby jaundiced, what they do the bilirubin. Bilirubin is the count of the red blood cells. If this red blood cells is, I would say, under 4, then what we do is we check it. If there is bilirubin there, now you know that is something to be observed. Is it coming down or is it going up? If it's going up, it has to be checked again. If it comes to a certain level, I think it's above 7 or 8, then baby must be seen to by a doctor. Because if it does go higher, it can damage the brain. And this is the danger of it. What we always feel is that the great aunties or the great uncles, they always say, don't worry, it will go down. Don't worry, this is normal. You know, babies are born normal. Babies are born, everybody's babies were jaundiced. Don't make a fuss of it. Please, you as a mother should not take that as normal.
Mm-hmm.
Have it checked up. What, it's a simple, simple test they do. You can go to any lab. You don't have to have a doctor's letter or anything. Just go to the lab and say, I want a bilirubin done on the baby. Within half an hour, you get the results. If the results are above, I would say above 9, 8, 9, have it checked up and then have it done again. The doctor will tell you when he wants to, when you have to repeat it. Because if you repeat and it goes higher, means that the bilirubin is now strengthening, and this can cause a problem. And like I said, it causes a problem in the brain.
Okay.
In that case, what they do is they put the baby under the blue light.
Okay. We'll talk about the blue light in a little while. For now, we're going to take a short break. Inshallah, when we return, we continue with our program. A reminder to our listeners, if perhaps you have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to The Growing Child. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. My guest is Sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister. And today we're talking about jaundice. And yes, we spoke a little about what it is, the causes of it. Sister Fatima, Jazakallah once again for joining us today on this program. Now, talking about jaundice, now we just before the break we spoke about the treatment, and it's something to do with the yellow, the blue light. Sorry, can you tell us more about this treatment? How is it done? When is it done? Where can it be done?
The first thing you do is when the baby's got jaundice and the report says the baby's got jaundice, what you do is you give it glucose water, not saffron water. We used to give saffron before. Please do not give that. You just give glucose water, and not in place of feeding, in between. Some people, they give the glucose water and they don't give the baby the milk or the feed. Baby can lose weight like that. But you just give the glucose water just to try and break down the bilirubin. If it is high, then you use the blue lamp. Now, the blue lamp is available at home as well. That's a comfort thing that you can use at home. And we've got phone numbers of people who have the blue lamp, who come home, they connect the blue lamp for the baby in the cot, and they leave it there until the bilirubin comes down, and then they remove it. And they keep a check on the jaundice.
The baby, sir.
And what does Blulem does? It breaks down the red blood cells to bring it back to normal. And that's what it does, the Blulem. And what you do with the lamp now, it's quite modern. You don't have to undress the baby anymore. You keep the baby as is on this. It's like a pad. And it's got the blue light under the pad. So baby just lies on there fully clothed and actually breaks down the bilirubin. It does do it. It works very, very effectively.
Mm-hmm. And it's not as traumatic for the baby and for the mother.
For the mother, yeah, because she can take the baby out, feed the baby, and put the baby back, and baby's quite comfortable on that because it's quite warm as well, and they don't have to get undressed or be uncomfortable tied up, so they are in their normal clothing on this mat.
Okay, and how long do you normally keep the baby on this under the saw? Under the blue light
until the bilirubin comes down.
Okay.
Until the count comes down. And when you see the count coming down to a certain level, doctor will tell you, and then you take the baby out of there.
So that means the baby will have to be going for another blood test.
Yes, they do.
Blood continuously until, few days until the baby's count comes down
to normal,
reasonably well. Okay. Now, you said the only thing is, now many people believe, I don't know if it's true or not, that breastfeeding sometimes can aggravate jaundice in newborn babies. Is this true?
What, it doesn't aggravate, but it can lengthen the time of clearing.
Oh.
It can lengthen the time of clearing. That's why they say, is take the baby off the breast for a while, just to get the jaundice down. When you see the levels coming down, then baby can go back on the breast, because we don't want the baby to go off completely. Because the baby gets used to the bottle, it's not going to take the breast anymore. So just be careful of how you do it.
And I think that is a bit of a delicate time when the baby is under the light and your breast milk is beginning to form, and there's no sucking, so that may cause the breast milk not to, form as it should form.
But what you can do is, of course, express. The mother can express. Try and express, because the more you express, the more you encourage the formation of milk. So try and express while the baby is under the lamp. Do that. And this can encourage the milk supply from staying on. Because as soon as you put baby back on the breast, it's going to encourage you to form again.
Okay. Now, another question with regards to jaundice is, sometimes baby becomes very lethargic. That's also one of the symptoms or the signs of jaundice. You know, the baby not sucking very well and the baby being lethargic, sleeping quite often. How do you treat this?
Look, what we say is, as soon as you see the tinge of yellow, you have the bilirubin done. And if it is slightly high, the doctor will advise you when to do it. You do it until you are happy that this bilirubin has come down. If the bilirubin is climbing, then of course you have to put the baby under the lamp. The danger there is that this bilirubin is a breakdown of the red blood cells. It goes into the bloodstream and it can cause brain damage. The danger there is, please keep it in mind that it can happen. We may not see it while the baby is growing, but normally, if you have noticed it, is sometimes when children go to school, they struggle at school. Then you wonder why. The brother is doing very well at school, the elder brother is at varsity. What's wrong with this child? Is it the lat lamiki? That's why he's like that. This jaundice can cause that. And what it can cause permanent brain damage. That's the danger of it. We may not see it while the child is growing, but when the child goes to school, it's going to start struggling in school, and this could be, I'm not saying it will be, but it could be the cause of it. So we must be very careful of jaundice. It's not something that is just taken literally. Watch the color of the baby. If you're not happy about it, please have it checked up.
Yeah, I think it's so important. You know, we shouldn't be negligent with regards to this. The moment you see there's a problem with the baby, please take the baby to be seen, to go to the doctor, and insist. As a parent, you have the right to insist that the baby be seen to, and if you're not happy, please have the bilirubin taken.
Please have it done,
You know,
it's very, some people come in and the visitors come in and say, don't worry, happened to my child, it just goes away. You know, don't worry about it. It will go away. Let the child grow up. Just give it sugar water. If you as a mother is not happy, please have it seen too. If you see your child, that this yellow is there, the baby, you know, you sometimes we imagine our baby being lethargic or not sucking well. But if that happens again, please have it checked up.
Okay. Yeah, and also another thing is, I think parents should be aware of this. Like, you know, what we tend to do is, you know, no. Just put a baby under in the sunlight for a while. That color will go. Don't worry. You don't have to go to the doctor and waste your time.
Yeah.
I think this is something that you really should not be, you know, taking for granted. Rather have the baby seen to by the doctor. And, you know, have the bilirubin, like you say, taken. If it's low, then you are happy about it. But if it's high, then it can be treated. And it can be done in your home.
It gets done in
under your supervision. You just, and your baby's going to be right next to you. And your baby's not going to be uncomfortable. You are not going to be uncomfortable. You can get better. I mean, you can relax and also get better at the same time, and your baby can also be
and the
at the same time.
The advantage of this new mat that they call this blow, this new lamp, it takes less days now. Before, it used to take at least a week, sometimes a week and a half to clear the jaundice. Now, this takes about 1 or 2 days. As soon as you put baby under this on this mat, it takes about 24 hours and the thing comes down.
And I think what is so amazing, I've seen one of these, is that you know, your baby is not under so much of stress anymore.
And neither mother.
And the mother. Because first, I think just that where they had to cover the little hands
and the
eyes and all that used to be so traumatic for both the mother and the baby. That, you know, it was the worst thing that could possibly happen to you and the newborn baby. But alhamdulillah, now things are so different. In fact, I don't know if there's something even more newer coming in now, because this what they had the last time was with, it's like a little baby grow kind of thing where the baby is just
slipped into
this little thing and the baby is warm, you know. And comfortable, and it's just the baby just sleeps in there. There's nothing to worry about, and you know the baby has movement. Everything their movement is not restricted. Their eyes are not covered.
They're not known.
And they're fine. Alhamdulillah, and it's so easy. Alhamdulillah, you know, things are made so much more easier as we go along. But really, if your baby is jaundiced at any stage, and if you want to, we can always get you the telephone numbers for the people that are, you know, that would be able to help you here in the Lanesha area too.
Yes, we've got the numbers.
We've got people in the Lanesha area, in any other area that you want to. There's always somebody available. And, you know, if you just find out from your gynae, I think they even have all the numbers. Or the pediatrician, for that matter, they will have the numbers of the people that would come out, the nurses that would come out and actually set up the whole little thing there for the baby. Alhamdulillah.
And the important thing is a mother is a very important person in the child's life. And if you as a mother feel uncomfortable of anything to do with the baby, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the throat, whatever you can, the skin, the hair, the limbs, the fingers, if you find that you are uncomfortable with any one of those things, you feel uncomfortable, have it seen to. Don't wait for the uncle, the auntie, the uncle who is a big doctor, the auntie who is a nurse coming, they'll check first. You feel uncomfortable about your baby, have it seen to.
Please. Okay, just another question is, after baby is sometimes taken out from the light, they still seem a little yellow. And how long does that color then take to, you know, eventually clear out or fade away?
Now, if the jaundice, when they do the bilirubin, if it's under, I can't remember too well now, but the doctor will tell you, is it under 6 or 4? I can't remember too well. But if it is going down, it can take up to 6 weeks for breastfed babies. The tinge, not the bilirubin, but the little color on the skin, the yellow, can last up to 6 weeks.
So then that is not too much of a concern.
So please, that's why they say take the baby off the breast. Do not take the baby off the breast, because the tinge can last because of the breast milk, and it doesn't affect the baby at all. Not at all.
And just one final question before we end the program. Can the jaundice come back?
No.
It won't want it.
It's not a disease like the liver problem. This is the breakdown of red blood cells for the newborn, and it won't come back. No. Once it goes, it goes.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. And any message then, you know, I know we said we're going to be talking about the lethargy and sleepiness and respiratory distress, but inshallah in our next program I think we'll talk about these two conditions. But Sister Fatima, any, you know, just some advice for our mums out there with their new babies with regards to jaundice then?
Look, like I said, if you feel as a mother, a mother's got instincts. You must check yourself and feel that even if a baby gets hurt or your child gets hurt in school, you feel it. You just have this funny feeling there's something not too right. And if you've got that feeling about your baby, have it checked up. If you feel anything that this baby, there's something that I'm not happy with my newborn baby or my child, have it checked up. Because a mother's instincts are very fine. And she just gets, it's just a natural to feel that there's something wrong with my child. It's a natural feeling of a mother.
Yeah, certainly. Well, listeners, if you would like information with regards to your baby's health, if you have any problem with yoga regards to your baby's health and you need some information, you can contact Sister Fatima on the number 011-852-6515. That number again, 011-852-6515. 6515, is that the right number?
Yeah.
So, you know, alhamdulillah, inshallah, she will be able to advise you. Also with regards, you know, trying to get somebody to bring in the, you know, if your baby have jaundice, if you need the lights or something, you can contact Sister Fatima. I'm sure she'll be able to give you the numbers of people that are available in our areas, inshallah. Once again, shukran jazilan, Sister Fatima, for coming in, and we hope to speak to you again just next month, inshallah. Well, from both of us, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.